The following is a message from Tim Greenwood Ministries that will help you achieve success in every area of your life. Now, here's Marcia Greenwood.
My topic is going to be on wisdom. We all want wisdom, and we all want more than worldly wisdom. We want godly wisdom, especially we who are Christians. We want godly wisdom because godly wisdom is what's going to see us through. He's going to get us through the tough times, the hard times, the good times, because God's word is true. The worldly wisdom, it goes up to a certain point, but it will fail. Sometimes it will fail. A lot of times it's pretty good, but God's word, God's wisdom will never fail. And this book, the Bible, and we just had a series, four-part series on the Bible. You can have what it says you can have. You can say out of your mouth. You can receive. You are what it says you are. And tonight we're going to be talking about wisdom and godly wisdom. Again, most people want wisdom. We desire to make our daily life decisions with wisdom. We don't want to make mistakes. Not many people go out there wanting to make a mistake. They want wisdom. We want God and we want His Word to lead us in making all of our decisions, the large ones and the small ones. And the other day I heard a great meaning of wisdom. I don't know who said it. I don't know if I read it, I heard it, or what. But the author said that wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That's wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. When we, especially as Christians, when we take hold of the ways and purposes of God, then we're going to succeed in life. We'll receive all the blessings that God wants to give us. And we're going to live in happiness and we're going to live in peace. Number one, we can turn to James 1:5. It's speaking about wisdom here. Okay, James 1:5. This is how we receive wisdom. God says that if any of you that does not discriminate against anybody. God says, any of you, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask of God. And it says, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now I'm reading from the NIV. Some of you have the King James. Mine is worded a little differently. But God wants to give you wisdom, and he gives it to you generously. He doesn't hold back. But as we learned so many times, God works by faith, and receiving wisdom works by faith. Verse 6, but, there's a but added on here, but when he asks, or when you ask for wisdom, God says he's going to give it to you. But you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not think that he will receive anything of the Lord. He is a double-minded man. So God says here, when we want wisdom, we ask. We believe that we receive. And what have we learned in the past about faith? Faith has to be accompanied by actions. So when you ask for wisdom, you believe you've received it, and you act according to what you're getting. You act in wisdom according to God's word, whether you can see it or not. Number two, Proverbs 8:13. This is telling us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in order to have wisdom, you need to ask, and you also have to. Is the word fear here mean run in terror of God? No, because God's a good God. We need to respect and reverence God. That's what it means by fear. This is the beginning of wisdom. God will work with you. Some examples in the Bible of people not using wisdom. We've all heard about the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, and the Bible tells us that the things that happened to the Israelites were written for our examples, so we don't get into the same bind, okay? So we don't go the same way they went. Even though God provided all things for the Israelites, He went before them in the wilderness as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now imagine yourself walking, or imagine yourself in this room. It's nighttime now. So you're looking up, and all of a sudden there's a pillar of fire. Wouldn't that make you feel pretty comfortable? I mean, wouldn't you feel like, oh, I feel good. I know that God's with me. Okay? The Israelites, they didn't have Jesus living inside them as we do today, as born-again Christians, okay? God showed Himself in different ways. God spoke in different ways during that time. But here He was. They could see the cloud. They could see the pillar of fire by night. God was always with them. And when He brought them out of Egypt, it was in such a miraculous way. But when things seemed too much for the Israelites to bear, they turned from God. In such a short time, they didn't think, they didn't use wisdom, they didn't look to God there. They didn't think about what God was doing for them, and they didn't think what God did for them just a few short days previous to this, how God delivered them from Egypt and how God brought them out of Egypt. They started going back into their old ways. They started going back into the ways that they felt comfortable with. Now, when Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days to speak to God, if you remember, God wanted to speak to the Israelites, but His voice was so booming to them, they didn't want to hear them. Moses had to go and hear from God. But here Moses was away for them for just a period of 40 days. But the Israelites, they wanted a God that was right there. They wanted a God that they could see or feel or touch. So what did they do? They made a calf. They made a calf, a god, out of all the gold. And Aaron said, let's make us a calf, and we can worship this, a golden calf. That wasn't using wisdom at all. God got really mad at that one. Moses got mad at that one. Now, when the Israelites reached the promised land, there were 10 scouts that went into the promised land to look around. Now they looked around and they saw beauty. They saw that the food was in abundance. They saw many things that were there. They also saw that there were people there they had to fight against. But 8 of the scouts did not use wisdom. They already forgot what God had done for them in the past few days and weeks. They forgot that God parted the Red Sea and all the Israelites walked through. And when Pharaoh and his army went in, what happened? They drowned. And they forgot that God was there by a cloud during the day leading them and pillar of fire by night. They forgot that God was speaking to Moses. They forgot those things. They didn't use wisdom. They let doubt in their mind. Now, 2 of the scouts came back with a good report, and that was Joshua and Caleb. The other 8 said to the people, he said, they told him some of the good things about it, but they also said, we can't do it. It's too much for us. We'll never make it. But Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can do it. Our God is with us. He will allow us to defeat this army. But the Israelites, they made a choice. They made a choice, and they didn't use wisdom. They didn't use wisdom at all. They didn't think back to when God got them out of Egypt with all the silver and all the gold that they could carry. It was just given to them. They didn't realize and they didn't remember that God had fed them and provided for them from the moment they got out of Egypt until now. All of a sudden they thought, okay, this is too much for us. We can't handle it. We can't tackle it. They weren't using wisdom. They forgot about the Red Sea and going over the Red Sea in safety. Now, the outcome of this story is that only two of the scouts, Joshua and Caleb, were able to go into the promised land 40 years later. Now, they also went with the children, who at the time the story took place, the Israelites said, well, let us go back to Egypt, or let us stay here. You know, we don't want to go in. Let us die in the wilderness, and let our children die in the wilderness with them. Well, what happened? They weren't using wisdom. God, he said, okay, you're not going to go into the promised land, but I'm not going to let this happen to your children. They're innocent. They're innocent. And so 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb and those children who are 20 years and under, now grown up, they were able to go into the promised land. The Israelites, they didn't use wisdom. Not one little bit. Now, Deuteronomy 28, we've all read this many times. It's a long, long chapter, but it's the blessing and cursing chapter. God talks about if you will obey him, if you will obey his commandments, he will bless you, so much so that he'll bless you going in, coming out. He'll bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land. He will give you food. He will give you material goods. He'll provide everything for you, and he will keep sickness from you. The Israelites, they didn't even have wisdom to know and to keep those commandments. They started receiving the curses throughout it. And throughout all the Old Testament, you'll see how God wanted to bless his people. Now, some people followed after the ways of God, and some did not. We find that Noah, Abraham, Elisha, some of the others, they followed after the ways of God, and they were blessed. They were blessed, but so many people did not. Now, when you love and respect God, then you're showing him that you want to obey him. And then you're going to keep his commands in your heart. And you're going to treat others with love. Now, we're not all perfect, but we're all growing. And with Jesus in us and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can develop the fruits of the Spirit. We can treat others with love. Now, using wisdom is to obey God. And when we obey God, we receive his blessings in our lives. The blessings come with obedience. The cursings come with disobedience. Because what God says in his Bible to us is wisdom. And we have to follow that wisdom. I think I want to read Jeremiah 10:12. Everybody there? It says, but God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heaven roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth, and he sends lightning with the rain, and he brings out the wind from his storehouses. Now here it is, verse 12, God made the earth by his wisdom. God knows how everything works in this earth, how he holds it up, how everything works with one another. He knows all the laws. He knows our bodies. He knows everything. God is the one we need to look to if we want wisdom. I want to turn to Proverbs 3:19-20. Here again, it's restating a little bit about creation. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations, and by understanding, he set the heavens in place, and by his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. God gives us his wisdom. He gives us everything he has. He wants to share it with us. And so if we want to know how to live the best life we can live, we need to look to God in his word. And his word is contained in our Bible. Now, Jesus was a man after God's own heart. And as a young boy, he was always growing in wisdom. He was studying the scriptures. He was talking to different people about God. He was talking to people about how to live life. He was growing in wisdom as a young boy. Now we can also grow in wisdom as we learn from God and follow what He says. This is where wisdom will blossom in your life. If you want wisdom to blossom in your life, it's the doing of what wisdom says. You can read and read and read and read and close your Bible. You can read and read and read and read and said, this is good for so-and-so down the street. So-and-so needs this. But if you want wisdom to blossom in your life, you need to read God's Word and you need to do it. Remember, faith and actions connected together. Hear and do. Okay? You have to have them both together in your life. Now, if you're seeking wisdom, then you need to go to the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15-16, it says here, I'm going to start in 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Paul's talking to Timothy here. Continue in what you've learned and been convinced of. That means that you know and you believe this is what God says for you. That's wisdom. Because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, I'm in verse 16 now, all Scripture, not partial Scriptures, not pick and choose, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the Son of Man may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is one way the Holy Spirit teaches you. And He'll teach you, He'll rebuke you, He'll correct you, and He'll train you through the Scriptures. Now here it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? God spoke it from His mouth. He spoke it to the authors through the Holy Spirit. And what God says can never fail. Okay, so understand that. The Scriptures are the promises of God to you, and they'll give you life. So now, what does teaching, rebuking, and correcting have to do with wisdom? Well, it has everything to do with wisdom. When you see what God has to say about something, then you see wisdom in changing any of your ways that go contrary to what God says. Especially those new Christians. They're learning. They've just accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're getting into the Bible. They're getting into teaching. God is teaching them through His Word. And they're seeing, well, this that I used to do isn't quite right. God says I shouldn't do this. Or God says I shouldn't be impatient. God says I should do this. This is wisdom. This is teaching. This is correcting. This is training. And then when you have God's laws in your heart, that's when you start to see the value and the wisdom in changing your ways. Because you see that the wisdom in changing your ways is because God doesn't want you to live that way. Because living that way isn't a blessing to you. It might be a little painful. It might be a little hurtful. Because you are trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? You're trying to train your flesh to go another way. But the spirit man inside of you, the new created spirit man inside of you, if you allow it to connect with the Holy Spirit and the teaching, the training, rebuking, will change your flesh man. And you'll start to walk in line with what God says, and you'll start to walk in His wisdom. You'll begin to walk down the straight and narrow path, the one where Jesus is leading you. Jesus says, wide is the way, but we're supposed to walk down the straight and narrow. How many Christians are there today that do whatever they want to do? I'm a Christian. I'm this denomination. I'm this faith. I'm this religion. But I have my opinions. I do what feels right to me. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm an adult. They have their own opinions. But their opinions isn't God's wisdom. God's wisdom tells us how to live in all areas of our life. You gain wisdom in learning that there are no shortcuts. God's way is simple, but you can't make your own shortcuts trying to say, well, let's see if this works. Let me see if I can get around God's ways just a little bit more. Let me see if I can do that. That doesn't work. You're going to learn that God's ways are always, always, always better than man's ways. And there is never any "I'm sorry" in doing things God's way. Now, some of you may be new to reading the Bible, and you may not know where to begin. Where do I start? I'm going to suggest that you begin reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. This will teach you about Jesus Christ. This will teach you about who He is. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your King. It will teach you what Jesus did on earth, how He lived His life, because you want to be like Jesus. And Jesus said you can do the things He did on earth. So you want to know about Him. In the Old Testament, a very good book to teach you about wisdom is the book of Proverbs. It is full of wisdom. It's a good book to read. Now, if you're trying to learn about a certain subject, we'll go with wisdom since I'm speaking on wisdom tonight. Go to the back of your Bible. There are many Bibles have concordances in the back. And if you don't have one in your Bible, you can buy one. And then look up the word. For instance, wisdom. And every reference it gives, go to the Bible and go to the scriptures. Look it up. And that will give you a good teaching on the word that you're trying to have a better understanding of. And this will give you more and more wisdom into the Bible. Now, the Bible says that a foolish man will despise wisdom. He will lean to his own understanding. He will reject the wisdom and instruction of God, and he'll pick what he chooses to do. Okay? That's a foolish man. God calls him foolish because he will not receive the full blessings of God. He'll be hurt. Now, more and more today, for instance, the morals of people. God has certain instructions about a man and woman, husband and wife. Sex is left to marriage, not before marriage. But how many people today say consenting adults? Another big one is abortion. Years and years and years ago, if you got pregnant when you weren't married, your parents pretty much didn't even speak to you. You were hidden away. Your family didn't want anybody to see you. Now, throughout the years, the ideas of people about abortion became, well, instead of it's the wrong thing, you don't go to bed before you get married, you don't get pregnant. It's like, well, only, quote unquote, bad people have abortions. It went from very wrong to, well, only the bad people. And then throughout the years, it's like, well, let's see. It's a, quote unquote, acceptable if it's a health risk to yourself, the mother, or the child. Or let's see, if there's something wrong with the child, you better get rid of it. And now it's called, quote unquote, pro-choice. You can make your own decision. And you're not looked down upon. Now, let me tell you one thing. If you do have an abortion, or you've had an abortion in the past, God still loves you. And you can go to God, and you can repent. It's not something held over your head the rest of your life. But it's not wisdom. It's not God's best for you. And it's certainly not God's best for the child. God says that He looks into the womb of the mother. He sees each and every one of you being formed as a child. He is already looking at His creation. He is already thinking of His plan for your life. Now, abortions even got a little worse than that. You didn't have an abortion in your second or third month when the baby was still forming and very tiny. Nowadays, it's even gone further. You can have a partial birth abortion. And see, people don't think of these things. They don't think that it's something against God. They don't think that it's killing God's creation. But God says it is. And God says He's against it. God can forgive it and will forgive it. And God will take away any trauma, guilt, sorrow in your life if you have had an abortion. But it's not God's best at all. Now, parents, they very much need to have wisdom that comes from God's Word. They should be instructing their children from an early age about what God says. But many people aren't. Many parents aren't. God says that we're to teach our children night and day. Does it mean we're supposed to keep them right in front of us night and day? No. But it means we're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to get out the Bible. We're supposed to teach them God's wisdom because it will help them. Not hurt them in life, it will help them. How many children, how many adults are so hurt today because they do not know God's wisdom? God says, don't let my teaching depart from your mouth. But many have let God's words depart from their mouth. So many parents are too busy. So many parents are struggling. Two jobs, three jobs, single parent household. They don't have the time to give their kids because they're just trying to make ends meet. But they don't understand that God is their source. It doesn't matter if you're a single parent. God will bless you beyond measure. He has a financial plan in this Bible. God says if you give to Him, if you tithe, and if you give, God wants you to work so you can give to other people. God has a plan. God has wisdom to give back to you. But parents, many of them, have left the responsibility of their teaching their children to the schools. Now, many schools have thrown God out the window. And they've also buried God. They didn't want anyone to pick Him up. They buried Him. Prayer is not allowed in school. Prayer is not allowed in school, many schools. Children are not being taught the wisdom of God. We are seeing children nowadays being more and more neglected. And these kids, they're fighting back. They're fighting back at society for leaving them. We see more gangs being formed. We see too many adults afraid of their own children. All this is happening because parents have left godly wisdom and they've tried their own ways, and many of these ways are failing. And the family and the society, they're suffering. They're suffering from people turning from God. Children are screaming out. Children, 9, 10, 11, 5, 6, 12, 13, they are children. They need to be treated as children. They need to have the freedom to go and play and do the things they were meant to do as children, not take on the responsibilities of adulthood. They weren't meant to do this. But people aren't acting in wisdom, and they're suffering. And the Bible says this will happen. The Bible says children will rule over people in the end times, and that's happening. Society doesn't know how to stop the gangs. They don't know what to do. They try to come out with more rules and regulations about guns and this and that. They try to stop pregnancies by giving out condoms. But that's not God's way. God's way is wisdom, and God's way is happiness and joy and peace all the time. In Joshua 1:8, it says that this book of the law, speaking of the Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now, what's this saying? I didn't understand about meditation for years. I mean, I thought it was something so way out there and heavy, you know. But all it is knowing God's Word. And dwelling on it, thinking about it, thinking what it means in your life and what God is saying. But God is saying here that you need to meditate on His Word. Why? So you can observe, you can understand His Word, and go out and do it. And then God says, and then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. It doesn't come before. It comes by having godly wisdom from His Word. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. No prayer in schools. Look at what's happening in many of the offices, federal buildings. People aren't even allowed to put up a placard of the Ten Commandments. They think it's going to do something weird to people's minds or something. But look what's happening to the world today. They're trying to take God out of the situation, and God is the only answer. God is our wisdom. Proverbs 4:6 says, don't forsake wisdom. She will keep you. She will defend and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Wisdom will keep and protect us from the evil strategies of Satan. If we know what God says to do, and we do it. If we know what authority we have, and do it. So many people don't want to think of spirits or Satan or the devil. But we live in a real spirit world. But we can't see. Most people can't see the spirit world, bad and good, the demons and the angels. But God says, you don't have to be afraid. You have authority over the demons. You have that authority, but you have to know God's word. You have to have that wisdom to know how to act. Proverbs 4:8-9 says, esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. We need to make our lives and our decisions revolve around the wisdom of God. God says it's wisdom to get counsel. You may have the word of God, but you need the advice sometimes of other people. But you need godly advice. And then when you get the advice of other people, you need to take it to prayer in God. We can't always be making snap decisions. We have to get the advice from God and sometimes other people, and have God guide us in making decisions in our lives. When you do this, when you act like this, you're setting yourself in a position for God to bless you. God says, don't worry. God says, give Him all your cares. This world, I can't remember the statistics, but so many people are in the hospital because of worry, stress, anxiety. So many people worry about things that they can't even change. So many people are worried about things that have nothing to do with them. You have enough in your life, God says. You don't have to worry about all these things. God says, give Him your cares. He'll give you peace. He'll take care of things. So many people today, they don't have the money to make it through. They don't have the money to even pay their rent. Some people don't have money to feed their children. These people need to be taught. Yes, we need to give. Yes, we need to help support orphanages and other ministries. But people need to be taught that God has a plan. That's wisdom, to give and to teach. You can't just give and expect the person to make the rest of the days good. But if you teach them, and if they take hold of it, see, they have a responsibility too. We have to use wisdom in teaching people, but they have to use wisdom in taking hold and doing, and then they see the blessings of God. Now, all our lives are filled with daily routines, but this does not have to be boring, and it doesn't have to be drudgery to get through. We can be filled with peace and satisfaction in every area of our lives when we know we're walking with God and using godly wisdom. We don't have to fear decisions we made. We don't have to fear that they're going to come back on us in a bad way or a wrong way. The Bible says, hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. So many people let it go, and that's a mistake. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. We cannot have a weak, half-hearted hold. This just won't work. We have to be strong. We have to be firm. When we know what God's word says, we have to act on it and do it. And then the peace will come in our life and the success will come in our life. God tells us to guard instruction. Why does he say this? Because too many things in the world try to come against us to pull us away from God. Think about it. Think about what's happened in your life this week. What about the soils of the heart? We just had a Bible study on that about a week ago. The sower sows the word, or the soils of the heart, Mark 4. Satan comes in and he'll try to steal, and he'll steal from the beginning when you hear the word, or a little bit after that when you've learned the word, or when you're walking in the word for a while. He doesn't care as long as he steals it. And that's his goal, to steal, to take you away from God. But if you know what God says, if you know his promises, if you have them in your heart, if you're walking in them, if you're speaking them, you'll be standing strong. You'll have on the armor of God, and you won't let go. You won't let go. I've heard of so many people saying that they've had a dream. God tells them something. God is leading them in some way. They have a dream, and sometimes their dream takes a while to take place, to happen. But during that time, they're waiting. They're waiting it out. They're thinking about it. They're meditating on it. So many people come against them. You're too young to do this. This will never happen in your lifetime. You're the wrong color. You know, you can't speak well enough. You can't do this. Well, I tell you, I know from the last year and a half in ministry that God will equip you. It doesn't matter about any of those things. God will use you. God will change the hearts of the people there. God will help the people see you and see what God has for them. Because if that's where God sets you up, God will use you in whatever it is. If God sets you up as a pastor of a church, you're 19 years old. The majority of your church is 40 years old and up. God will use you because God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the knowledge. God will give you the compassion. God will give you the things to say. He'll give you the help how to teach and instruct and rebuke in love. And these people, they'll respect you. They'll love you because this is God's perfect will for you. And if you obey God and stand in that wisdom and don't let anyone steal from you, you'll gain that. Proverbs 4:23, and this is the Amplified, it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard. For out of it flows the springs or the issues of life. So God's saying, guard this above all else. Now what are the issues of life that keep us close to God? They're God's promises, God's word, his words of wisdom to us. Their instructions of how to treat and love one another. Their instructions of how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control, and faith. When you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you will have victory in your life because you're walking in the wisdom of God. Your flesh may want to react in one way when something happens to you, but if you step back and you let your spirit man dominate and you react out of the fruits of the Spirit instead of out of the flesh, you'll see the blessing. It may not come immediately, but it will come. It will come especially in peace of mind to you. We can be given the gifts of the Spirit, but if our lives do not display the fruits, all of the fruits stemming from love, then the gifts, they'll really gain us nothing. The gifts are for other people, but you'll be torn apart. You'll be empty. You'll be hollow on the inside because everything has to work out of love and compassion for one another. Psalm 92, 1 through 6. It says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound are your thoughts! Now listen to this, verse 6. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. You have to have wisdom. Fools will just not understand. Same chapter, verse 12 through 15. Now listen to see what happens to the righteous, to those who use wisdom. The righteous, they'll flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Now, if you're not walking in wisdom, then you can be swept into the world's ways of doing things so easily. If you step over into the ways of the flesh, not walking in the Spirit, not listening to God's Word by letting yourself be swayed. But God's Word, His ways, will always bring blessings. The world's ways, through Satan, brings disappointment and curses. Sometimes it may seem, quote unquote, like you're getting away with something, but you're not. You're never getting away with anything when you compromise with God's Word, when you don't use godly wisdom. Here's a for instance. If you're not walking in patience, Satan will try to bring you down by getting you frustrated and making you want to give up. He'll make you think, well, this isn't working. It's not coming fast enough. You'll want to give up. But if you stand with patience, you'll know God says, and you'll remember what God says, He'll get you through. The victory always comes. Patience coupled with faith. And this is so important to have. Patience sees us through many of our trials. Patience won't quit. No matter what's happening in your life, it won't quit. It won't let you down. If you're walking in joy, then depression won't get into you. The words that come out of your mouth, if you're feeling down one day, the words coming in your mouth will say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You'll say that God, Jesus, has given me the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You'll say that no weapon formed against me will prosper. You will be able to put Satan in his place by using the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. By proclaiming God's word out of your mouth, by standing in faith and patience, and by praising God. God says when you submit to Him, Satan has to flee. It's just that simple. Proverbs 14:14-19. It says that the way of the wicked is full of wickedness and violence, and this is deep darkness. You don't want to live in darkness. Not at all. The wicked cannot even see what they're stumbling over. They just keep walking. They just keep groping in the dark and getting further and further and further in darkness. But the exact opposite is the way of righteousness. It's like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the first light of day. Have you ever been on a trip kind of early in the morning? I think this is the only time I enjoy getting up so early in the morning. And we've had a few trips, and it's dark when you first start out. Then all of a sudden, especially if you're riding through mountains or something that's really pretty, all of a sudden the sun's coming up, and you see just the brilliance and the beauty and the glow of it. How wonderful. I can see the light of day. This is great. It's going to be a good day. The righteous know exactly where they're heading because Jesus leads them. What does Jesus say? I am the truth, the way, the life. What does God say? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If we're in the word, if we're seeking out the wisdom of God, if we're acting on it, we're not going to be groping around in the deep darkness. We're going to know that we know that we know that God's word works all the time. And we're not going to have failures like this world who doesn't understand has. Now, Satan's going to continue to try to pull you into darkness. You won't see it coming unless you're walking in wisdom. He's very subtle. Unless you're in God's Word, unless you're doing what God says, you're not going to see it coming. And sometimes it's too late. He'll get you down. And then you have to climb back out. Then you have to go back into God's Word, see what God says. Now we have to pay attention to God's Word. We have to take time to get into the Word and say what God is saying to us. We don't have to look at other people. We don't have to judge other people. We have to see what God is saying to us. God's words are life to those that find them, and medicine or health to our whole bodies. This is what Proverbs 4:22 says. What happens when you're sick? You get a headache. What do you run for? The aspirin, Tylenol, whatever. But God says His word is medicine. His word. If you know what God says about finances, if you know how God says He gives to you, you'll practice it. If you know that God says Jesus is your healer and you've been healed, you'll practice it. If you know that God says you don't have to worry, you can have peace, you'll practice it. It's medicine to your whole body, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Wisdom cries aloud, God says, but we have to hear it. God will not force us to do anything against our will. As you continue to hear the word, it will become embedded in your heart. That is so important. Because out of the abundance of the heart, God says, the mouth speaks. So you got to know what you know. You got to know what you believe, and you got to act on it. And when things come up and when the emergencies come up, it's either God's word, anger, frustration, fear, unknowing is how you're going to react. And you have to know God's word, and you have to act in wisdom with God's word. When you do that, you'll walk, you'll talk, you'll make decisions with confidence and trust, and fear will not dominate over you. Now, it's important because you can't take a vacation from God's word. What does God say? Meditate on my word day and night. It doesn't always mean, okay, every day I have to read this for 15 minutes. But the more you're in the word, the more you're going to understand the word. And if you're walking somewhere, or if you're driving in your car, or if you're at work, you can have God's word in your heart. You can meditate on God's word. You don't have to pull the Bible out and start reading. It's there. It's inside you. You start bringing it up. It starts to feed you. It starts to bring you from a down feeling to a joyful feeling, to saying, this is what I am in Jesus Christ. This is my inheritance, and this is what I can have. So you can't take a vacation and then pick back up. We need to continually listen and speak to God. In Proverbs 4:7, and at the last of the study here, I'm going to do a little bit of reading in Proverbs. And I told you at the beginning, Proverbs is wonderful to read. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Another Bible may say, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, for it will protect you. Remember I read that we said it will guard you, it will lead you. It's the top thing that you need to get. It's the principal thing you need to get, God's wisdom. That's how He made the world. That's how He made us. That's how He put His words on paper. God breathed. So if we know His words, we can be walking in wisdom. I'd like to read Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 18. It says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And it says here, finds wisdom. What does God say? You have to seek Him. You have to search Him out. But He'll be right there. What did we read at the beginning? If you want wisdom, you ask, and you believe you receive, and you start acting on it. So, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and you find it in God's Word. The man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and she yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. I want to read parts of Proverbs chapter 3. This is wisdom here. And I always like to put my name in here when it says my son anywhere in the Bible. It makes it personal to me. So I read it this way. Marcia, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, or Marcia, if you receive or accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out or invite insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear or the respect of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, and he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he will guard the course of the just, and he will protect the way of his faithful one. So, God made the world, and God made you by creation. The words of this book, the Bible, their wisdom. If we individually and collectively can get hold of God's word and God's wisdom and put it in our heart, what better life would we have? What better life would we have because we would be giving to one another, not trying to get, but to give? And what better life would this world be if we get wisdom? Because God says wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom.
Let us know how this teaching has blessed you. You may write us at Tim Greenwood Ministries, P.O. Box 1904, Arcadia, California, 91077. You may also email us at staff, S-T-A-F-F, at tgm.org. And remember, God's Word is the light you've been looking for.